We still don't have a clear understanding of why a gunman tried to assassinate former President Donald Trump on Saturday, so some people are coming up with their own reasons. The shooting happened in the middle of a presidential campaign that was already saturated with conspiracy theories and threats of political violence. We're joined now by NPR's Lisa Hagan and Odette Youssef. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Lisa, would you give us a sense of how conspiratorial rhetoric has been stirred up by this attack?
Yeah, you know, we still have relatively few facts about what occurred here, but that is more or less irrelevant when it comes to the alternative and conspiracist media landscape, where folks have pretty much every incentive not to wait for official information. Social media, we all know, helps these kinds of narratives spread quickly. For example, there are claims without evidence made by people like Senator J.D. Vance and Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene that the Biden administration is somehow behind this. There are also claims, also without evidence, that Trump or his supporters may have staged this. We've also seen plenty of casual talk and jokes, memes, you know, you name it, about the shooting from people across the political spectrum. And lots of everyday people have also gotten caught up in this. People wrongly identified as the shooter. They've had their addresses posted, family members' names posted online, and much immediate anger also at news media. Folks are looking for someone to blame.
Odette, acknowledging that Lisa just said that there are relatively few facts, is there any information so far about whether this will be considered an act of violent extremism?
Well, the FBI is investigating the incident as an act of domestic terrorism, you know, primarily because this is what they are calling an attempted assassination. But experts say it doesn't yet appear to be a case of violent extremism because so far there's no clear motivation behind it. You know, there hasn't been any evidence so far of connections to an organized extremist movement or to any group. You know, politically speaking, the case isn't really clear cut either. You know, the alleged shooter was a registered Republican, but he also made a single donation to a Democratic organization a few years ago. And, you know, as confusing as that may sound, it's actually not terribly strange to people who understand extremism today. Elizabeth Newman is a former official with the Department of Homeland Security. She's now with Moonshot, which is a company that tracks and tries to de-escalate online radicalization.
Increasingly, individuals have very fluid ideologies. Sometimes it's not ideological at all. It's just a glorification of violence or glorification of previous shooters, previous attackers. That's very prominent online these days. So we are seeing more and more individuals who carry out these attacks, and they don't fit our categories.
Newman says what's proven to be, you know, more helpful instead of trying to categorize people into specific extremist ideologies is to try to understand what was happening in their lives that ultimately led them down this path.
Odette, there are four more months till the election. That obviously has people concerned that could violence breed more violence. What are concerns among extremism experts?
Yeah, there's a lot of worry about the coming weeks. I spoke about this with Cynthia Miller Idris of American University.
We have such a high level of us versus them thinking and the idea of an existential threat and an incredibly armed population that the likelihood that another lone actor tries to take action is always out there as a possibility.
So concern about copycats, revenge acts, militia groups mobilizing, or other bad faith actors trying to capitalize on this moment of extreme tension. And this is all especially worrisome because anger is just snowballing against a variety of targets as we wait for actual facts to come out.
Lisa, as the investigation unfolds, we may learn more about the psychology of the shooter. What was the motive? But we have seen in the past that even when facts do come out, people choose to believe what they want to believe. I imagine that's the same concern here.
Absolutely. We're in a time when trust in all kinds of institutions is very low, in many cases for understandable reasons. So even when we start to get a clearer picture from sources like the FBI or journalists, we're going to see suspicions that crucial things are being hidden from the public. That's sort of a core tenet of conspiracism. I talked with Jared Sexton about this. He writes about conspiracism and extremism.
This is one of those moments where politicians, journalists, members of the institution, they can make a choice, like we can all make a choice, which is to look at what is happening and continue to make it worse, or to understand that a lot of factors and a lot of events have led us to this moment. It's a hinge point.
You know, this has been a very good live demonstration of how natural a tendency it is to fill chaotic information voids with something. So to answer your question, you know, this is going to spin out to a number of narratives. But the ones that are going to linger on are also going to show us what individuals already believe about the world.
That's NPR's Lisa Hagen and Odette Youssef. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.